Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, June 10th, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter How It Works on page 63, reading paragraph 3, which begins, "We found it very desirable." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Pam M. for the 12 Steps, Adele R. for the 12 Traditions, Brandy M., Leslie M., Mary B. will greet newcomers at the end of our meeting, and Shelley E. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting for yesterday, at yesterday, Wednesday, June 9th, is 17112. That's 17,112. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for June 10th, Thursday, June 10th, is 17121. That's 17,121. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Pam M. to please read the 12 steps. Star one, on you.
Good morning, everyone. This is Pam M. in upstate New York, and also my baby girl in the background. So give this background noise. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings, and made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you so much, Pam M. Thank you. I'm delighted to have your company, too.
Thank you.
Okay. And I will now ask Adele R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Adele R., gratefully recovered today. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Adele R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book means to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works on page 63, paragraph 3. And I will ask Brandy M. to please begin reading.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Alberta, Canada. We found it very desirable to take this step with an understanding person, such as our wife's best friend or spiritual advisor. But it is better to meet God alone than with one who might misunderstand. The wording was, of course, quite optional, so long as we expressed the idea, voicing it without reservation. This was only a beginning. Though if honestly and humbly made, an effort, sometimes a great one. An effect, sometimes a very great one, was felt at once. I was looking up some stuff and going through this paragraph, and what I looked at is the without reservation. So, you know, I'm saying the third step prayer, I'm taking the third step prayer. Typically, I've always done that with my sponsor and on my knees. Or she'll say it, I'll start saying it, and she'll say it, and it's just powerful. But where I like, this was only a beginning, right? Like, so I'm taking this without reservation, and for me, without reservation means that, you know, without limitations. I'm not limiting. I'm not, you know, putting any of my old ideas on it. I'm just open, and you know, I'm supporting this thing that I don't really know at this time. I'm all hands on deck. I'm in. And, it's like, I'm trying something different and offering myself to God rather than, you know, continuing to live the way I was living. And, you know, but it's only a beginning, like saying that prayer without any action behind it, you know, and then we're going to read about how we're going to launch, you know. Launch to me means like a space shuttle. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something, and I'm going to have to, you know, at this point, you know, I may not be feeling, you know, God's relief from the food. And so I need to continue to, you know, just keep taking the next right action and practicing what it says in this book. And, you know, and then eventually, for me, eventually, like, it was felt. I can't say after saying the third step prayer that all of a sudden, you know, I was like felt cured and connected. And like, that wasn't my experience. But I just continue to believe without reservation. Like, I just thought, you know what, if I do what these people say, then maybe I'll get it. Like, maybe this will happen for me. And then that was my experience, right? But I'm going to have to do some action here. And, you know, faith without works is dead. If I don't continue to, you know, and this is a prayer I say daily, because, you know, my credits from yesterday don't transfer, as somebody always says, and I love that. You know, I don't get to say this prayer once and then be done with it. Like, I have to continue to remind myself and be in the sunlight of the Spirit. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Brandy M. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may have an opportunity to share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to comment on this, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Larry G.
Cynthia C.
Larry Annabelle. G. Cynthia C. Annabelle
Z. Thank you.
Annabelle Z. Anybody else? Okay, we'll get started with Larry G, Cynthia C,
Sherry KB,
Annabelle Z, and Sherry KB. If anybody else wants to jump in, there's still time. And there'll be plenty of time after two. Okay, Larry G, Cynthia C, Annabelle Z, and Sherry KB. Kick us off, Larry, please.
Yes, this is Larry G, as in George. I'm in California. And first of all, I want to thank you for your service. You do such a great job facilitating this call. And, boy, I'm sure glad that we got the reader today recorded, because I'm going to go back and listen to that. It was really powerful. This might be very obvious to some members on this call who have got a lot more absence than I have, but I had this small spiritual awakening for me, that I abandoned God, and the way I abandoned God was my mind was always fogged up with food. And I realized, okay, how could I have a connection with God? I didn't have a connection with anybody, especially when I was in the food, and my mind was held hostage by flour and sugar and salty snacks and compulsive eating. And my wife knew. My wife would know, and she's in OA also, recovered. Then she would know that I had binged that night or that day because I was disconnected. And I was disconnected from God, and I would pray to God, but it didn't have any weight and depth behind it. And the reader mentioned that small little sentence, faith without works is dead. Today, my opinion is that belief is only part of the formula. I'm halfway there. But faith, I'm all in. I'm all hands on board. And the author of that statement goes on to say that faith without works is dead, and the worst kind of faith is no faith at all. And I never got to that point because my mind was so cluttered. It was like I was taking some kind of medication and I was like in a cave. I couldn't think. I couldn't process any thoughts. I had no connection to reality because my mind was so I was so deeply entrenched in a strange mental twist that I could not connect with God. And today I do. And I believe that faith is an action word, and I have to have an obedient faith. And an obedient faith means that I do anything, no matter what the appearance looks like. I go to God and I have God direct me. And You know, we use the word God, but you can use anything you want. Anything we use in terms of describing God is already, we've limited ourselves, because how can my mind wrap around the idea that there is no end to this universe, no beginning, no end, or it goes on to infinity. I cannot conceptualize this God, but in my heart of heart where I live, I know there's a God, because on May 17th, 2020, I had a profound surrender, not only giving the food up, I hopefully for the last time, but also realizing in my heart of hearts that I am a sick and dying drunk without God, and life is not worth living. And so that's my take on this day. I really need to talk about this because I'm in a low place right now. And the thought is to eat last night, and I went to God, and that was the only reason why I can call you today, and I'm a sober man. Larry G. from California, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Larry G. Thank you. Okay, Cynthia C., followed by Annabelle Z. Please go ahead, Cynthia.
Thank you so much, moderator, and thank you for everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. I'm so grateful to be here right now. Cynthia C., recovered or recovering compulsive overeater from Newton, Massachusetts. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be in recovery. I'm grateful to have the steps, the 12 steps, to work every single day. To the reminder that recovery is not always linear. We have good days, we have bad days in recovery in terms of how I feel or how I perceive things. People used to make that statement like my worst day in recovery is better than my best day not in recovery, and I thought that was crazy, but I actually think I believe that now. My will, when I lived in my will, I lived in like that, what is it, the gerbil wheel, or that lived in that whirlwind of just going, pushing, was never happy with anything, just felt like I always needed to be more, and I've been in recovery for over 4 years now, and I work the steps really, like, hard every day. Like, I am a low-bottom food drunk. You know, I need to work the steps. I need to turn my will and my life over to the care of my higher power every single day. I need to say that third step prayer every single day. I need to say most of the 12-step prayers every day to remind myself to work the steps, to do 10 steps. Because when I'm in my will, I'm pretty miserable in my own body. I'm miserable in my head. I'm miserable to be around. But I do know that the mornings that I get up and I spend, you know, like an hour, which it takes like an hour to do my 11-step prayer meditation and inventory, that like I am more grounded, I am connected with my higher power. I'm asking my higher power to guide me through, not just saying the third step prayer, but for me, I need to actually consciously ask my higher power to guide me through all of my meetings, my interactions, my conversations, my everything throughout the day. Because if I'm on my own will, I get resentful and I feel hurt and I take things personally. I get enmeshed with people and situations. I just left a job I was in for 8 years that had become a very toxic work environment. And the only way that I was able to let go of it without another job, was by working the steps, to know that this was really unhealthy for me. And then I'm at a point of just such exhaustion, and that I can trust in my higher power to guide me, like that I'm okay, that all of this is going to be okay, and my needs are going to be met, my family's needs are going to be met. And the other thing with the third step is that one of the things that I learned from a sponsor and program was not just to say the third step prayer for me, but to be able to say it for other people, to turn around and instead of saying me, to say like they're my husband or my kids. And that's something that really helps me. Thank you. Because I find myself wanting to control people throughout the day. And if I can say the third step prayer for other people, then I can let go of whatever they're doing. So thank you so much. So grateful to be in the meeting to hear everyone. Thank you, moderator.
Thank you to Cynthia C. Annabelle Z, you're up next, followed by Sherry KD. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z. I am a compulsive overeater recovered in Washington State. And thank you for your service and this wonderful reading this morning. You know, I say this prayer every morning, but I change it up a little bit, and it does say that the words, the wording was, of course, quite optional. And what I say is, walk me through my difficulties, as opposed to take away my difficulties. And I do that because I just know that I will learn, and I enjoy now, having been in recovery for a while, to I enjoy that feeling of peace when I learn something new that will help serve others. I enjoy that more than just being relieved of a challenge to grow. And the other thing is the word difficulty. Some people interpret the word difficulties as our character defects, and I had never really thought of that, but I heard that on the phone, I think, yesterday. I've always interpreted difficulties in this case as basically other people in situations that my ego doesn't agree with, you know? And so it helps me to have God walk me through these challenges of dealing with situations and people that, you know, I want to object to. The other thing that stands out to me is when it says an effect, sometimes a very great one, was felt at once. And I wake up and I have this mindset when I literally like wake up and the alarm goes off, and it's basically what's going to take away from me today, you know, my energy and my time and my resources. And I get out of bed and I get on my knees, and after I say the third step prayer, and especially that line of walking me through my difficulties, that I would bear witness to those I would help of thy power and thy love, I immediately change my mindset, and it changes to, what are you lovingly going to have me do today to love and serve you and your people? And that mindset change, it's so necessary for me. And I get up, I also do my seven-step prayer and a couple other prayers, and I get up and it's, oh God, how are we going to do this day? Even when I wake up unrested or kind of in a little period of depression because I kind of go up and down in my moods, it still serves me well as far as my attitude change in my mind, because I wake up selfish and egocentric, and after this prayer and this, it's huge. It's a very great effect for me, and it's felt at once. So anyway, that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Annabelle Z. And Sherry KB is up next, and after Sherry, we're going to take another lineup of people commenting on page 63, paragraph 3, which begins with, we found it very desirable. Please share with us, Sherry.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and Team Thursday. I've been back in the step work again, and it's just going deeper and deeper. I spent more time in the first three steps than I have in a long time, and it's really opened up something big for me. Recognizing that, you know, of course the food's been down, and that, you know, how important it is, because none of this would make sense for me if the food wasn't down. So now what I'm seeing is my powerlessness over my self-will. And how that has been just as deadly, if not deadlier, than the food, because it's gotten me into more trouble and everything. So here I'm at step three. I've taken step three, and it's basically telling me, Sherry, moving forward, if you are not, you know, turning to God and instead of your self-will, and not acting agnostic, in other words, trusting in something greater than me. It doesn't, whatever you believe, but, you know, greater than me. This stuff isn't going to work. It's not going to take. And that's what I'm finally getting, is that, you know, my self-will has just, I'm getting it. I'm finally, like, really getting that I am powerless over my self-will and my life is unmanageable. And so with doing the third step prayer, I'm saying, now moving forward, I'm gonna be turning my will and my life over to God and not Sherry. So with being able to discuss that with somebody who understands this work, it's very important, because somebody else might think, you know, what? You're doing what? So it's vital that I do this way in order to better have a relationship with the higher power of my understanding, because the next thing I'm going to be doing is launching into what is blocking me from my higher power. And I need my higher power to help me to walk through all of this. I can get support from my fellows, but I really need to be turning to my higher power. And I can't have any reservation. And, you know, just as simple as what reservation really means is that I can't have any more doubts or limit myself anymore around what I can stay open with my heart to my higher power, because that's going to change everything. And I had a day yesterday that you would not believe. And if it hadn't been for my higher power, I don't know what I would have done. And I really saw God working in my life yesterday. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. Okay, so we're commenting on how it works, page 63, paragraph 3, and that we value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to share, presto, went on mute, and please let me know.
Jody
Harry
E.
W. I heard Jody E. and somebody
Harry
else.
W.
Terry W. Anybody else? Find your room. Okie dokie. Jody E. and Terry W. Please go ahead, Jody E.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E. recovering in California. The third step prayer. Sometimes a very great feeling is felt as a result of taking step 3. Well, I can attest to that. I had a very, very profound step 3 experience back in 1995. It really was quite amazing. It was like I felt like I was suddenly lifted off the earth. It felt like my feet weren't quite touching the ground. And it lasted about 2 weeks. However, I didn't proceed with the steps. But even though I didn't proceed with the steps, it had a very, very profound effect. Of course, I eventually took back my will, unfortunately, and that amazing spiritual experience passed, but I'll never forget it. And when I'm struggling, which I still do at times and have recently, I think it is very much a third step. This time, it has been a third step lapse. I took back my will. I took back my fear that I wasn't going to get what I thought I needed, that my instincts were not going to be fulfilled. My natural human instincts for what I think I need and what I think I want. So one more time, I am today, right here, right now, turning my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God, so that I may have a new experience of my recovery, my life, my program, and God. And I don't know what will happen when I do that, but I do it with faith, with abandon, with confidence that God will show me God's will for me one moment at a time, just one moment at a time. That's all I need to see is the next step. I don't need to see tomorrow, just the next step. So thank you all for being here. I love you all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Jody E. Terry W., you're up next, and then we'll take another lineup on page 63, paragraph 3. Please go ahead, Terry.
Good morning, everyone. This is Terry W. from Newton, Massachusetts. I'm recovered anorexic and bulimic. And I have to say that the third step prayer is so deep and meaningful for me. When I did my third step prayer with my sponsor, it was years and years ago, and I'll never forget the experience I had. We went into a little chapel together, and we lit a candle, and we sat, you know, around the candle, and I gave her my third step, and it was the most beautiful, wonderful thing. I will never forget that experience. And recently, I've had some people calling me up going, oh, do you mind if I give you my third step? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, just, I mean, to me, it's such an incredible, strong work giving ourselves to God. I mean, this is not a joke. This is something very, very serious. It's like I am giving my will and my life over the care of God as I understand him. And in this paragraph we just read, it's really interesting. I take this as a kind of a warning here. It says, it's desirable to take this with an understanding person rather than someone who may misunderstand. So if I just give my third step to anyone who has no idea what I'm, you know, talking about, I don't think it's as credible as if I share that with someone who knows that I'm actually doing such a strong commitment. I mean, this is a true commitment, and I do not think anyone can go further in any of the steps until this step is taken. I think this is the cornerstone of all the other steps, because this is where it really begins. So for me, it's just a beautiful prayer. I say it 5 or 6 times a day. And, you know, I think it's really important that someone says the prayer to someone that understands what they're talking about and can be where you can really make a strong commitment. So thank you for listening, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Terry W. And though we experience everybody's, although we value everybody's experience, we do ask you to limit your share to every third day. So if you haven't shared since Monday, please let us know and comment on this powerful paragraph.
Rachel P.
Rachel P.
Sandy K.
Audrey M. P.
Sandy K. Audrey M. P. And somebody else.
That was Mary Lou G.
Mary Lou G. Anybody else want to get in the sign up? Thank you. I have Rachel P., Sandy K., Audrey M. P., Mary Lou G., and room for two more. Anybody want to jump in? Okay. So, Rachel P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Sandy K.
Good morning. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. And I wasn't going to share this morning, but after hearing the shares and reading this paragraph, I'm thinking about my third step experience and experiences, which I have every single day in recovery. And I was thinking back to the first time that I worked the steps in the later half of 2018. And I don't remember having a third step experience. I think I remember my sponsor and I talking about, you know, steps 1 through 3, you know, not really being steps of action necessarily, but of intellectualizing these concepts and then having experiences of them kind of solitarily, which I did and was such a gift to me. I spent hours in prayer and meditation and really in this surrender, this place of surrender and trust, because I just knew that what I had, everything I had tried, any ideas I had had were not working, and I was able to surrender to a higher power. So perhaps that was kind of my third step experience, but I don't remember a singular moment where I went somewhere special or, you know, got down on my knees with somebody else and said the third step prayer. And then I began sponsoring, and I kind of realized that I had done that. And last summer, I took a road trip around Colorado. I did a U-loop around the state and went on this hike just before sunset and kind of made my way up this little hill. It was called Needle Rock. And turned around, kind of came to a stopping point where I couldn't really climb anymore. And turned around, and my breath was just taken away, and I decided in that moment to sit there and say the third step prayer. So it was kind of impromptu, and I was just overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude and peace and serenity and surrender and assuredness in my purpose in life, which this program has given me. It was so beautiful and amazing. And I think it's important for me to understand, though, that there's not that one moment. You know, I'm also thinking about the spiritual awakening, spiritual experience appendix. It doesn't have to be one singular moment. And if that moment isn't what I thought it would be in my head, that's perfectly okay. Because every single day I get to wake up and get on my knees and say that third step prayer and start my day off in surrender to higher power. And it's a completely different way of living from how I was living prior to recovery. And it allows me to stay out of the food and to be of service to others. And it's such a gift to be able to start every day off that way. And right now, I fractured my ankle 6 weeks ago, so I'm not really getting down on my knees right now, but I do that every morning, and it's such a gift. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rachel P. Sandy K., you are up next, followed by Audrey M.P.
Good morning. This is Sandy K. from Florida, a recovered compulsive overeater. I love step three. Problem with me in step three is I can't just do it in the morning and then forget about it. It used to be that I would do step three and I would feel just so connected and very pink cloudy, and then my day would go on and I realized I had taken my will back. So a couple of things have happened. One is I've been in program a long time, and I now recognize, and maybe I'm a slow learner, but I now recognize that I need to think about step three throughout my day, not just in the morning, because for me, it doesn't hold. It doesn't last as long. I need to have that connection again during the day. And when I have that connection, I'm following my higher power's will, then everything's going really smoothly, like I'm in the flow. But when I don't pause and go, before I make that phone call or before I say something, then I really can be in trouble. The longer I'm in program, the more I remember to pause, but not always. And so pausing gives me a minute to turn around and ask my higher power, what should I do? And then the big book says, you know, you wait until you get an answer. The other thing is, I'm like a lot of people on this line, I've read the big book zillions of times, and it always amazes me that they put new words in. So my sponsor a few years ago said to me that she changed the third step prayer to make it more her own. And I went, oh, you can do that? And she pointed to me in the big book about, you know, this is just a suggestion. So I did. So I changed the third step program. The intent is the same, but I changed it to fit me and my spirituality. And it feels so much better. It feels like I'm wearing a soft but tight glove as opposed to like a loose mitten. So I just want to throw that out, that pause and changing that third step prayer to really be meaningful in my life has helped me tremendously. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sandy K. Audrey M.P., you're up next. Please go ahead, Audrey. Star one to unmute.
Good morning, Team Thursday. This is Audrey M.P. I first of all want to thank the person that read for me this morning. And to Vision, I want to thank Vision and especially Team Thursday. I reached out last week saying I was having a major surgery this morning, and it got postponed on Monday. And so my prayer has shifted. And my experience with the third step prayer is that when I was newly abstinent, I was told to say it on my knees, you know, and I said it on my knees every morning, and that was that. And then, you know, I'm just chiming in to everything I've heard this morning. But my spiritual awakening with step three was that I'd ask my sponsor, what's the difference between my knees? And, you know, and then when I got to the 11th step, I learned how to meditate and have conscious contact in a different way. And I was like, what's the difference between my knees and me sitting in Gyan Mudra or me laying on my back? And so we did an experiment. And for 2 weeks, I didn't do it on my knees. And for I did it a different way, but the same way. And then I did it on my knees for 2 weeks. And it was, she was it different? And I was like, no, God heard me either way. God heard me either way. And now that when I'm in conscious contact with my higher power, that's kind of my go-to prayer. You know, everybody has shown me all these prayers and these promises and the book and vision I never knew were there. You know, with my 28 years of being in Overeaters Anonymous, however I practice my prayers and my steps. And, my mother needs me right now. Here's my prayer. And I don't know how to fit her in that. My whole trajectory has changed because now I talk to her every day, and that's my service to my mother. And I love what I heard someone say, that they say it, their prayer for someone else. And that has never occurred to me. So I'm having a little spiritual awakening right now. I have a lot of gratitude for vision and the experience, strength, and hope I get here. And so I'm going to reach out again and say, if someone has experience with, you know, an aging mother and, you know, living far away, you know, when does God step in to the 115 miles between me and my mother, who's, it's time for her to have a companion, and she wants it to be me, and I'm not quite sure how that's going to work. So I'm in my third step.
Gentle reminder.
Loving all of you. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you, Audrey MP. Okay. Mary Julie. I'm so sorry, Mary Lou. Mary Lou G is up next. And then after we'll have time for a couple more shares on page 63, paragraph 3. Please go ahead, Mary Lou. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for being here. I'm so grateful to be on this meeting this morning and many, many other mornings with all of you, too. Well, let's see. What I'd like to say is that I heard something on a vision meeting the other day, and I think I completely took it out of context, but what stuck with me is somebody said something about strapping in to God. And I got this image of a papoose, and I kind of visualized myself in this papoose strapped to the chest, the heart of God, and just feeling safe and protected there as I begin to move forward in these steps. And it just gave me such a feeling of peace and care and protection. I just keep thinking about, you know, I'm starting my fourth step inventory, and I, what somebody said today about we'll need our higher power to work through these steps. We'll need our higher power to, look at the blockages from my higher power. And I just feel so blessed and so fortunate to have this image just given to me. I think it was yesterday. Strap me in. And that's part of my prayer, part of my third step prayer to my God. And I'm 71 years old, and I'm really grateful that I can still get down on the floor. I can put myself into a child's pose every morning and offer my third step prayer, my life and my will, over to God's care and protection. And those words, care and protection, really mean a lot to me. And I guess another thing I want to say is I say, steps 1, 2, and 3 every morning while I'm on my knees. And for the second step, I do a little bit of changing of the words to, and you know, I'm not trying to change the words of the big book for sure, but I say, I came to believe that God could, would, and is restoring me to sanity. So I really need to put that into a term that works for me, because I don't feel that I can say I'm recovered at this point, but I am certainly in recovery under God's care, strapped on to God for care and protection as I step into these, this inventory process and begin to look at my blockages and my grosser handicaps, as they're called, and whatnot. So I just wanted to share that today, and I thank you very much for the meeting and Team Thursday. I'm so grateful, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary Lou G. So we have time for about two and a half minute shares. Who'd like to comment on this? Paragraph 3 on page
Patty
63.
B.
Patty B.
Yes, please.
Anybody else?
Diane B.
And Diane B. Okay. Please go ahead, Patty B. Let us know where you're calling from, please.
Oh, super. Thanks so much. This is Patty B. from New Smyrna Beach, and I'm really grateful. This is, I don't know, maybe my first or second time actually being able to get on to share, so it's great. So I just was listening, and I also was told by my sponsor to reword the third step prayer to meet my needs. And I find that I change that every so often when it starts to get rote and I'm just reading it to get it done. And I really want to connect to my higher power. That's when I just pause and I start to like ask my higher power, you know, what words here are going to get us connected? And I just thought I would share today's version. So it says, "Thank you, Great Spirit. I am light and joy filled with you. I offer my empty self to you. I move from a place with you. Help me to prioritize my program and activities, to fill me with your pure love, radiant light, fierce courage, and divine guidance. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do your will. Take away my core defects, fear, dishonesty, selfishness, and self-centeredness, and the thought patterns, misery, and beliefs, and the denial, so I can be of the highest service to you, me, and my fellows. Let me be a pure and radiant example that attracts others to living in your divine love, power, and grace. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass."
Thank you very much, Patty B. I'm glad you got to share as well. And Diane B., you'll be our last share today. Please go ahead.
This is Diane B. from Southern California. Glad to be on the line and so grateful for all of your service that everyone does. I just think this is the most beautiful prayer. And I think one of the reasons why I think it is so beautiful is just the abandonment to God. And one thing that makes me happier during the day is when I'm always appreciating what God has done for me. And so I kind of look at this prayer as a gratitude prayer and how important gratitude is in our lives, to be thankful for the blessings that God has given us on a daily basis. Whether it's help or family or all of the little tiny things that God does for us on a daily basis. And I just have to do that for today. For some reason in my big book, I don't know where this came from, but it's there and it says, "God, I offer myself to thee today to build with me and do with me as thou wilt today. Relieve me of the bondage of self today, that I may better do thy will today." So I'm always happier and more grateful for my life when I just stay in the moment and in the day. And that's all I have today. So thanks for letting me share. And I pass. Bye.
Thank you very much, Diane B. And thank you, everybody who shared. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leslie M. please read a vision for you?
Good morning, Elaine.
Thank you so much for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.